So while it's true there are many who are trying to serve God without going to the cross, without laying down their life, there are just as many, if not more, who are caught up in something much more insidious than trying to serve God in the flesh. All right? It's time to wake up and smell the coffee, people. I could point this brother to half a dozen people that I know personally, and to many more people that I am very familiar with, who would answer yes to every one of those questions without hesitation. Okay, they would answer yes to every one of those questions in a heartbeat. And every one of those people are as deceived as you can possibly be. You see, because they're following another Jesus. They're not living in the flesh, serving religion out of flesh. They're following a person, okay? We're not simply dealing here with people who are trying to do Christianity in the flesh, or with people who just feel good about themselves because they're religious. They do religious things. They go to church, and so they feel good about themselves. So you can't really get them saved. You can't really get them to the cross. They feel so good about themselves because they're just religious. We're facing a situation where people are meeting and establishing a very deep relationship with a living person who they think is Jesus Christ. Get that into your minds. This is a lot deeper than people doing Christianity in the flesh. People are meeting a person, a real living being. And they're establishing a very deep relationship with that living person who is claiming to be Jesus Christ. This ain't about books, reading books, doing doctrine, having theologies, doing, philosophy. We're talking about relationship here. Relationship. Has the spirit, this guy says, has the spiritual presence of the living Lord become real to you? Well, the spiritual presence of something has become real to those people. And they're completely occupied with the indwelling life of that person. Actually, it's death. It's deception. But they're completely occupied with it. And they're truly satisfied with that person. Believe me. Multitudes are falling in love with another Jesus. They're serving this other Jesus day and night. They eat, drink, and sleep this Jesus. They believe they have turned their backs on the flesh. They have turned their backs on the world to get more of this Jesus. Their life with him is everything. Everything. They're as committed to him as anyone in this room is to the real Jesus. Their Jesus is just as real to them as the true Jesus is to you and me. Their Jesus talks to them. He leads and guides them. He empowers them. He provides for them. He does all the things for them that the real Jesus does for you and me. Except he can't bring them forth in God's true image because they're a demon. It's a demon. I mean, I don't know how to say this without people accusing me of belittling the problem of not dying to self. But all I can say is, it's true. The issue we face today goes deeper than that. It's not that that's not a problem. It's not that that doesn't need to be addressed. It's not that that doesn't need to be preached. But it also needs to be preached. It also needs to be exposed that there's an even deeper problem. And it's even more dangerous than that. Okay? People are establishing a tangible, real relationship with a false Jesus. He's becoming everything to them, their life, everything. Okay? And when I first started this chat room over a year ago, a lady came into the room who had been out of the church system for many years, and she had also been alone for many years. Her husband died. And during those years, she had developed a very deep and a very strong relationship with a person she believed was Jesus Christ. All right? Now, I didn't know who she was when she came in the room that night, but later on I found out who it was because she sent me an email. She was a sister who was on my mailing list for a couple years. She had a lot of my books. She thought they were great. Okay, and that night in my room, I happened to be talking about the fear of the Lord and how one of the reasons so many people are being deceived right now is because they have no fear of God. Doctrines like eternal security and the grace plus nothing, these kind of things have destroyed the fear of God in people's lives. And this woman got very upset at me when I started talking like that because she felt she had been delivered from any fear of God long ago. And that no one should fear God. They should only love God, like she did. Well, I was very gentle with that lady. I mean, I was very gentle with her. But I did ask her some questions, and she couldn't answer them. And apparently that made her even more angry at me. So the next day I got an email from her, a very sarcastic email. And she told me who she was, and she informed me that if I feared God, I didn't know God. She also said that I had not yet entered the kingdom of God. that my writings were all just head knowledge and that she had thrown them all away. Now, most people would look at that situation and they would probably conclude that this dear woman is a believer, but that she just needs to get some of her doctrine straightened out. Or she's just not as far down the path as we are. We're on the same path, but she's just not where we are. Okay? But I believe it's much more serious than that. I believe this woman has developed a very deep relationship with a false Jesus over the years. And one of the things that false Jesus did was take away any fear of God from her life. She not only has no fear of God, she has no fear of being tricked or deceived at all. In that email, she made it very clear to me that she was living such a victorious life that she doesn't even worry about Satan at all. He's not even a thought in her brain. Now, aside from being, the bitter attitude she displayed in that email, no one would ever suspect that anything was wrong with that woman. She talked a great talk, and you could tell by what she was saying about her relationship with God that he was everything to her. She was totally committed to him. She had no love of the world in her heart because he was everything to her. The only problem is she's serving the wrong Jesus, I believe. And if what I believe is true, then all the preaching in the world about putting the flesh life to death, or about not loving the world, or about putting God's will first in her life, won't help this woman. Because living in the flesh and loving the world and choosing her will over God isn't her problem. Her problem is she's in love with the wrong Jesus. Now, one of the strategies Satan uses on people who are pressing towards perfection, who are growing up in the Spirit, is to offer them the very thing they know God wants to bring them into before the God-appointed time and without paying the God-appointed price. And this is one of the most difficult tactics I've ever personally had to deal with, because I happen to teach, and others like me teach, that it's possible to go to perfection, Hebrews 6:1. We teach that Jesus is coming back for a church that is without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Ephesians 5:27. Now, when you preach it's possible to go to perfection, what do you do when you run into somebody who claims to have reached that point? What do you do when you run across somebody who claims to be so in love with God or have such a deep relationship with God that they say they won't sin anymore? They just won't sin anymore. Well, first time I ran into this tactic was in the 1980s, I think it was. An old family friend and his wife, who had been out of fellowship with us for many years, somehow got in contact with us, and they came over for dinner, and we had an evening of fellowship with them. And as we were sitting around discussing the things of the Lord that evening, this brother informed me that God had circumcised his heart. Well, I didn't know what he meant by that, so I asked for some clarification. And he explained what had happened to him in the context of, deer hunting and killing a deer. When you kill a deer, you gut it. He said there's a very thin layer of film around the deer's heart, and you can actually take that layer of film and separate it from the heart completely. And he's told me that that's what happened to him. That layer of film around the heart represents the spiritual flesh nature, the sin nature. And he said God had cut that thing out of his heart, away from his heart. He no longer had a flesh nature. Therefore, he would no longer sin. He was convinced he would never sin again, because he never had his flesh nature was cut away. Well, that didn't sit too well with me, so I started asking him questions that he didn't like. I also started bringing up passages of Scripture which contradicted what he just said. And after a while, he started to get, he started to get mad at me. He started losing his cool. And he was sitting on our couch, and there was a long glass table in front of the couch here. And he got so frustrated at one point, he took his hand and he went to bang his fist on the table. But he caught himself in time, and he didn't bang his hand on the table. He only tapped it. By the time his hand got down there, he had caught it. He just tapped it. But you could tell that he was losing it. So at that point, I said to his brother, I says, "Oops, I think I just saw the old man there, brother. How could that be if he's cut away?" But soon after that, we let the subject drop because it was pointless to keep trying to tell this brother he was deceived. Even if he would have totally lost it, got up, walked over, and punched me in the face, he still would have walked out of the house that night believing he had no flesh nature left. It was cut away. All right? That's how strong the deception was. Some years later, while we were living in Alaska, I ran across the same basic thing, different context, different people, but basically the same thing. A brother I had met at probably none of you heard of this guy, but his name is Art Katz. He's well known. He was a well known brother. Had a community. Lived in a community in Minnesota. He was a converted Jew. And I was down at his place one time. I met another brother, a younger brother, who was just coming out of the system. I gave him a couple books, and he ended up coming out of the system totally. And during that time, he met another guy from Canada. And he and his wife and his six kids moved up to this guy's house in Canada. And both these guys had left the church system. And the brother I knew one day called me when I was living in Alaska. He asked me to drive out there to their house and have some meetings with them, minister to them. And I prayed about it, and eventually I felt the Lord, you know, release me to go. So four of us drove out there. We drove from Alaska to the east coast of Canada. It took us 6 days. Well, during the trip, you know, we'd stay at a motel, and I would, every couple of nights, I would call these two guys. I'd call this brother I knew. And every time I talked to him, I got more and more uneasy about the whole trip. And the last time I talked to him before we actually got there, the brother I knew told me the guy that he was living with had had this really unusual, intense spiritual experience that they were all very excited about, and they wanted to tell me about when I got there. And I felt horrible. So we arrived at the town. They met us at the local gas station. We followed them back to their house. And from the time I walked into that guy's house, he started telling me his whole story about how his religious history and how he came to the Lord and all this. And finally got to this story about how he had this spiritual experience in the bathroom while I was shaving. And as soon as he started telling me what was going on, what happened to him, I knew where he was headed. I knew what he was going to say. So when it came time for the big punchline, and he says to me, "And you know what God told me that was? What he showed me what that experience was?" And the guy's mouth dropped open because I said, rather casually, I said, "Sure, I know what happened. You know, God circumcised your heart, and now you can't sin any longer, right?" And he was a little irritated that I stole his thunder, but he went right on explaining the whole experience again. Now, I had a brother with me who was pretty sharp in the spirit, and together we had a bit of fun with this guy. We tag-teamed him into a theological corner. We got him to admit that according to his own doctrine and the experience he had had, the next time he sinned, he would never be able to be forgiven again, and he would go to hell. And we did this to try and expose this guy's delusion to the brother I knew who had met Dad Art Katz, you know, who was living with this guy. We wanted to show him this guy he's living with was really in deep delusion. And the story gets more and more bizarre, but I'll spare you. The point was, this guy had this very real religious experience. He said he actually felt like somebody was cutting his heart out. It was pain. He cried out in pain. And that was all over. The voice he had been following told him that he had just had his heart circumcised and he would no longer sin. Now, of course, those of us who have to fight guilt and condemnation on a regular basis because we are very aware of our own shortcomings and our own problems, you know, we find it difficult to believe that people can get so deluded as to think they can no longer sin. But I assure you, they do. Another tactic, it's along this line, falls into this category of trying to give people something before it's God's time, without the necessary price, is you'll read testimonies, and I've read just a few of them on the web last 6 months. Different writers come out of nowhere, and their testimony is they've been serving God for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they're on this up-and-down roller coaster. They're up and down. They're in and out of the spirit. They're up and down. They have sins they can't overcome. They're frustrated. They go into depression. They come out of depression, and their whole life is really not that stable as it should be. And all of a sudden, they have some experience. Some experience, whether it's a revelation or some personal experience, a vision or something, or a presence comes on them, or all kinds of different things happen to these kind of people. But after this experience, all of a sudden their whole life is different. And now they live in victory all the time. They never have any problems. Their mind is just on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you ever talk to somebody in the churches? It's very interesting. It's kind of a parallel, but it's on a different level. If you ever go to the people involved in this revival stuff, any of these revival churches, and you go in and you start talking to them, and you try and talk to them about truth, about the truth and error, what they're teaching is not biblical, and this doesn't line up with Scripture, and this isn't what Jesus taught, and this isn't what Paul taught. Why do you believe in this? And you start trying to talk about truth and error, and trying to say, this isn't true. Why do you believe it? They don't care. You don't just say this. Hey, man, I just want to talk about Jesus. I just want to talk about Jesus. I don't care. If that brother has a little wrong doctrine, so what? I don't care about that. I just want to talk about Jesus. I love Jesus. I just want to talk about Jesus. Did you ever run into that in the system? Well, this is the same thing on a different level, a more deeper deception out here, outside the system. Once they have this experience, It's like the same thing. They don't say the same words, but it's just like, I just want to talk about Jesus. Jesus is everything. I don't want to talk about the devil. I don't care about the devil. I don't worry about the devil. The devil can't do nothing to me. I live so far above everything. I have no more trials. I have no more tribulations. I conquer everything. I am victorious every minute of every day. I live in the Spirit every day. Nothing gets me. You know, they're just like, wow. They've reached the pinnacle. You say, wow, I wish I could be like that guy. Man, whatever happened to him, I'd like to happen to me, because he's just living in victory 24/7. Not even being attacked. And I'm telling you, that is the devil. The devil gets in people and gets them that kind of experience, gives them some kind of revelation, gives them some kind of thing, and convinces them that they have arrived, they've got to the goal, without all the fight that's necessary to get to that goal. Brother, you're going to have to struggle. If Jesus himself had to weep, and struggle, on, like it says in Gethsemane, he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. Now, whether that's drops of blood or not, I don't know. Who cares? All right, I'm not interested in that right now. But he was in such an intense struggle to do God's will over his own will that he was sweating. It was literally, it was like I was out working out, lifting weights. That's how what a struggle it was. And you ain't going to get to the goal without that kind of struggle. I don't care who you are. Now, it doesn't have to be that kind of struggle every day. It's not like God live in defeat or anything. I'm not saying that. But you're not going to just go from mountaintop to mountaintop and never come down, never have a valley, never have a problem, never have anything going on in your life. No way. If you're in that kind of situation, you are in deception. You didn't win the battle. You're under the spirit of the devil, and he's not attacking you anymore because you're his. You're in some kind of delusion he's got you in, and he's going to let you alone and leave you walking that delusion to the very end. It's a struggle. It's a fight. It's a warfare to get to the goal. And you don't all of a sudden just have some woo experience or some doctrine or some revelation, and all of a sudden you're there. That's a lie. That's a trick of the enemy. I've seen about six of them, five or six of them now, that had that kind of testimony. Their life before, they were a Christian for many years, and they couldn't get victory. And this ain't like, you know, there's a certain amount of truth to something like, if you're a fundamentalist Christian, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's a certain amount of defeat you walk in as a fundamentalist. Fundamentalists are defeated in a lot of areas. They can't get victory. Because you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to get complete victory in your life. And when you get baptism of the Holy Spirit, then your life changes. And you start getting victory over things. I'm not talking about that. This is something totally different. This is somebody who had somewhat of a normal Christian life. And all of a sudden, now their life is a super Christian. Now all of a sudden, they've arrived. We're not talking about starting to get victory over things you haven't gotten victory before. We're talking about getting complete victory over everything. And just living there forever. Okay? They've arrived. Or they think they've arrived. That kind of thing is deception. And that's happening out here. It's the kind of thing that the devil does to people who are going on in God, who are going on to maturity. Now, for those of you who are not hearing what I'm saying, and you're thinking, oh, this guy's just trying to scare me. I mean, he's just exalting the power of the enemy. Where's the power of God? Where's the power of Jesus and all this? I'm going to tell you something. You're not hearing me by the Spirit. There is no trick or tactic of the enemy that we cannot overcome. I don't care if it's a kindergarten trick, a grade school trick, a high school trick, or a college trick. For every deception that the enemy has, God has an answer. God has the power to overcome it. As long as we're doing our part. Okay? And I'm not here trying to scare people and exalt the enemy. I'm trying to equip people. God has equipped me to recognize these things. He has taken me through different battles, exposed things to me, showed me how to what they were, how they operate, and how to explain them, so I can help others not get deceived. Okay? Ignorance is deception. You walk around ignorant of these things, you're going to end up deceived. And when somebody is trying to explain them to God's people, they're not exalting the devil's power. They're explaining how to defeat the devil. I'm not telling you how not to defeat the devil. I'm trying to explain how to defeat. God's equipped me, and I'm trying to help equip his people. Because as you go further in God, the deceptions get trickier. And if you're just hearing, like I'm saying, the devil's all powerful and you can't defeat them, and no matter what happens, he's going to get control of you, then you're not hearing me by the Spirit. I'm explaining to people how to get the victory over the devil. And this is some of the things, some of the tricks he uses to get people. If you read one of these articles and you think, oh, wow, that guy's like me. I have struggles. I have problems. I got to struggle with this and I have a problem with that. And I sometimes get depressed and my life is not really great. And all of a sudden you meet this guy who says, I was just like you, and then I had this experience. I had this revelation. I had this doctor now. Whatever it is. And now I'm at the top. I'm on the mountaintops. I just go from mountaintop to mountaintop. There is no more struggle. That's a lie, people. That's a lie. Those people have been deceived by a slick, subtle, deception. And they're in that thing, and the devil's blessing them. The devil's leaving them alone. The devil's letting them walk in that kind of thing. So they'll keep on going that way forever and never get delivered. You have to fight. You have to fight to get free, and you have to fight to stay free out here. It's going to be a fight to the very end. And it doesn't mean you have to lose, but it does mean you have to fight. That's all. Now, most of the power that the devil's been given right now is in the realm of deception. And he can utilize lies, and he can utilize truth as an avenue to deceive. So all I'm asking God's people who are hearing me right now to do is, you know, just ask God for more discernment. Not general discernment. Ask God specifically for the kind of discernment that can detect the source of a thing. Okay, the source of a doctrine you're hearing, the source of a preacher, a teaching you're hearing, the source of something you're reading, the source of a testimony you're hearing, the source. Okay, that's all. Ask God to give us the kind of discernment that detects the source of something. Many people are being deceived right now by truth that's coming from religious spirits. And if you ask God to show you the source, you won't be deceived. Because you've taken everything out of the devil's arsenal. Okay? Because even if he's preaching truth and you find out that truth is not God, then you're free from it. You're not going to be deceived by that. Now, in closing, I just want to say something about myself, because more and more people are getting offended at what I'm saying now these days and the people I'm exposing. And I'm gaining a little bit of reputation for being a nitpicker or someone who is splitting doctrinal hairs over things. Now, I want to say this about the sister I was talking about the last 2 weeks. She has a website. And I went to that website to read some of the things she had to say. I was not looking for trouble. I was not looking for trouble. I was looking for edification. I went to that site because somebody else recommended her to me, who is a solid Christian. Now, the first few articles I read from that woman's site were right on. Absolutely true, doctrinally speaking. Not one thing wrong with them. Right on, dead center. But even so, I felt funny. I felt uneasy after I was done reading them. I couldn't shake it. She also had a book she had written. It was online. You could read it. I read most of that book in one night. And again, everything I read was good. It was truth. But still, that very uneasy feeling, it just didn't go away. I couldn't shake it. And after a while, I realized it was the presence of another spirit. It's just that simple. It was the presence of another spirit. I read that woman's writings, and I felt the presence of another spirit. Now, finally, I came across the articles where she was talking about this stuff about you don't need to ask forgiveness and some other things I picked up. And then I went back and read a bunch of other stuff. I tried to read everything she wrote to get an overall feel of what she's teaching. And when I did, some other things became real that were wrong. But the error I saw just confirmed what had already been shown by the Lord. Another spirit was writing those things. And my point is simply this. Personally, I do not go around judging whether or not a person's involved with some kind of spirit based on their doctrine, based on what they believe, okay? Lots of people have different kinds of doctrines. People are in different states spiritually. They're different places spiritually. Not everybody's going to agree doctrinally. Many people disagree with me doctrinally. And I don't think they have spirits just because they disagree with me. Okay, I have brethren who disagree with me, and I don't think they disagree with me because they're under the influence of some demon. Okay, I don't judge people by their doctrine. I judge doctrine, but I don't judge people by their doctrine. The discernment I get from the Spirit, it's in my spirit. When I sense something's wrong, that's what I'm going by. Whether the person's preaching truth, whether the person's preaching error, it doesn't matter to me. I'm looking for the source of things. I'm looking for what God's saying. So the Spirit of God was checking me about this woman's writings long before I ran across any of the error she was teaching. And I'm going to tell you something. Even if I would have found no error, even if every word, every stinking word that sister wrote was absolutely true, I would still walk away totally convinced she's involved with another spirit because of what I felt after I was reading the stuff she was writing. I felt the presence of another spirit on her writings. And it has nothing to do with whether it's true or false. It has to do with the source. And I would still be convinced she's walking in there under the influence of the spirit. Everything she said was true. It didn't matter. And that's something people don't understand. So all I'm trying to do is warn God's people that we're in a time where that kind of measuring line of true and false is no longer good enough. It's not that you don't want to use it anymore. You keep using that measuring line. You still got to know if things are true or false. But you need an additional weapon. You need an additional thing to keep out from deception. An additional thing is now you need to know the source of a thing. Because now, even if you find something's true, you're still going to ask God if that truth is coming from Him or if that truth is coming from another source. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to say we should not judge things anymore by the Scripture or judge things whether it's true or false anymore. I'm saying you need an additional measuring line. You need two sticks right now, two measuring sticks right now. One, whether it's true and false. And when you discover whether it's true or not, if it's true, then you got to find out what's the source of the truth. That's all. I mean, I don't think that's too hard to comprehend. Whether you believe it or not, it's fine, you know, but I hope I'm explaining it right. Okay? It's not good enough just to say, is it true? Is it false? Once you find out it's true, then you got to also ask God, is it coming from you? Or is it coming from some other source? You see, because if you accept a truth from a demon, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be walking under the influence of that demon. And the truth doesn't matter. If you whatever you accept from a demon, you're going to come under the power of that demon. Whether it's a truth, whether it's a lie, whether it's an emotion, whether it's a theology, it doesn't matter. Demons are trying to talk to us. Because when we listen to them, we come under their influence. Okay? So if you're really good at determining, discerning truth from error, then the devil's not going to come and start, you know, flopping air in front of you all the time. He sees you've got that down. Okay? He's going to come and start giving you truth. And try and lead you away from God with truth. See, because if you follow the truth of a demon, you're following a demon. Doesn't matter whether it's truth or error. It's the source you're following. The important thing is what is the source. And if you follow that source, whether it's a lie, whether it's a truth, whether it's a revelation, whether it's a doctrine, whether it's an experience, doesn't matter, vision, I don't care what it is. If you follow the wrong source, you're following the wrong source. Period. So all I'm asking is for God's people to start asking God to get wise. You know, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be wise. Understand what's going on here. These spirits can teach the truth. They can teach right doctrine. And they'll teach you the truth as long as they get you to follow them. Well, I mean, what's a small price to pay? It's a small price to pay for a demon to tell you some true doctrine or give you some true revelation to get you to follow him instead of Jesus. That's a small price to pay. They don't mind paying that price. So as you grow up in Christ, you got to get wise. You got to get wise to the enemy's tactics. As they grow, you got to get wise to them. And that's what I'm trying to do is trying to help people get wise to some of these tactics that are out here. So that's about all I have for that. Now, on our chat session, Sister Annabelle had something she wanted to share, and she did. She shared it. I'm just going to add that clip of what she shared last night onto this message right here. I'm not going to bother having her come in and sit in front of the mic and say it all again. I'm just going to add that clip to this. So that'll be the end. After she's done, it'll be over. We'll see y'all next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say a little something about the dragon in chapter 12. Even now, he's out trying to devour any man-child truth that's coming forth that would bring the man-child forth in a person through the truth. And it said he's there to devour the child as soon as it's born, and he's even now trying to take away the truth of this man-child that's company that's coming forth, and he will try any way he can to make that truth seem untruthful. And I just wanted to add that because that's very real to me. He still is going to and fro seeking whom he may devour, and he is devouring any truth that anyone's bringing forth that would bring the man-child forth in an individual. Goodbye and shalom.